welcome to the Soccer Coaching Podcast, brought to you in association with our friends at Soccer Coach Weekly, reflecting our shared ambition to help coaches have the most effective, enjoyable and successful coaching journey for them and their players. We hope you enjoyed this episode and thanks for listening. Oscar, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks, God. Really excited to be here. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited too. The reason I reached out to you to get you on the podcast as to be one of our guest speakers was based mostly on the tweets you've been putting out on X. And every time I read one of your tweets, if we still call them tweets, I'm not sure, but I'm going to call them tweets. I just think, oh, if I had the capacity to write so succinctly as you did, I'd want to write that. Like, they're just spot on every time. And you've covered so many different things in the stuff you've put out there that every time I read one, it kind of gets me thinking, which makes you the perfect guest for this podcast, because it's all about getting us thinking as coaches and, you know, exploring different ideas. So first and foremost, thank you for sharing this stuff on X, because it does, you know, it's very engaging and it does get us thinking. But it was really hard to pick a topic with you because there's so much we could have spoke about. What is your engagement with X? Why do you use it so much?
I appreciate it. It's interesting because I find it helpful to organize my own thinking. So everything I write on X is actually how I think, how I coach. So it's, of course, I'm happy if it helps other people, other coaches to think more clearly and maybe put some question marks on what the coaches do. But it's also for myself, so it helps me clarify my own thinking, and if there's something I think at the time, I just put it out there, it's been exciting to see that how many coaches resonate with those thoughts, and yeah. Also it's not only football coaches; it's also ice hockey, basketball, different sports, because I think many things are in sports in general, yeah, and not just football.
Yeah, they transcend, don't they? Yeah. Well, it's good to know it gets you thinking too, because it comes across like you've got all the answers. And I always think that when I'm the coach other side, and I know we don't have all the answers, but it can come across that not from your side, just from the person reading it, you think. But it certainly gets us thinking. But let's go back then a little step before we get into the topic theme itself. For those that don't know your school, haven't seen your background or know much about you, could you mind just catching us up a bit about kind of what your journey's been up to this point, playing and coaching and anything else you may have done in between?
Yeah, sure. I played myself, let's say, well, as a kid, of course, everyone dreams to be a professional player. And I went up to like professional level in Finland. And then I was 23, 24. I picked some injuries. So basically 2 years I was not playing much. And at that point, it was 2010, 2011, I started to think how coaches do, like when you can't participate the training sessions, the games, you start thinking many other things. And at that point, I really started to think about coaching also. And 2011, I hopped out from let's say, trying to get into professional game and like downshifted to semi-professional amateur level and started coaching. At the same time, I think I coached and played like seven years up into 2017. So, and after that, I stopped playing myself and coached since. So that's 15 years of coaching already, all in the same club. I think that's pretty rare nowadays.
Absolutely. Because
to coach 15 years in one club. and done pretty much everything. Boys, girls, talent coach, coach educator in our club, now working as a technical director. So pretty much seen everything that club football has to offer.
Have you coached across all the age groups? Did you done young ones to the seniors?
I think the youngest ones are like under 10, under 11, all the way up to first team. So, but every season I've coached under 17. So that's actually where most of my tweets and thoughts come from. So, under 17 boys, which I coach this year also. Yeah.
And you're currently also technical director, are you, at the club?
Yep.
Yeah. And what's the club's name?
It's called Järvenpään Palloseura in long term. So Japs is the short term. Yeah.
And they have a proud history. Is it an established club?
It's founded in 1947.
Okay.
So it's 90 years in 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. And it is rare to spend like a coaching career at one place. I mean, over here, that's unheard of, but that's fantastic. You're doing something right. And I guess then, you're embedded in the culture and the philosophy, and, it must resonate, the club must resonate with you as your coaching style and your practice as well to stay there that long. Is it a good marriage? It must be a good marriage, I guess.
Yeah, of course, you would not stay in one place if it wasn't, yeah.
Yeah, if it wasn't right for you. Brilliant. Okay, fantastic. But it's interesting you mentioned under 17s because I did think on your tweets sometimes it's not always clear, the age groups, but it didn't matter. Like I've got slightly younger ones, so I look after under 13s going 14s, so they're not a million miles away from the age. But like I wouldn't have, the stuff you put out there almost would transfer across to any age group because you just take the bits that are relevant to what you're coaching. So, but if it's okay with you, we're going to talk really around the importance of coaching principles, because I think you shared a really good tweet about that that we can touch on during the conversation. But I guess the first question around that would be, what do you actually mean when we talk about coaching principles?
Yeah, I think that's so interesting question because you see principles of play and like multiple use cases of the word in itself. For me, I think them as some simple, repeatable ideas that could quite guide how you play or how we want to play. So not formations, not patterns, but more like behaviors in a certain situation. So let's say we always want to look forward first. That's like a principle for players. So if there's an opportunity to dribble or pass forward, you do it. Or you lose the ball, you react immediately. So that's how I see them.
So it's kind of like almost more of a broad kind of guiding star rather than anything. I guess the detail then comes behind that, right? But essentially, you're saying that when we play our game, these are the things that are most important to us from a headline perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. And can you have principles at all levels? Like maybe not levels so much, but maybe ages. Can you have principles even for very young players as well as senior players, or is this an under 17s and up thing?
Yeah, I think you can. And actually, I think that's how football should be thought because, like, let's say you have under seven, under eight, under nine player, you can just say that try to score, try to score. So that immediately emphasizes his or her behavior in a certain way that we want to have, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And you did mention in your tweet, I think, about the principles being like clear, committed, and consistent. I think you also mentioned that already today. Why is it important that the principles have that clarity and are consistent. Because I'm sure lots of coaches will be, if you ask them, if we sat in a pub and had a drink and a beer, they'd have their principles, the way they want their team to play. But I'm not always sure if you ask the players the same questions, they'd understand that's what the coach wanted, even though they might have coached them for many years. So why is it important to have that clear consistency and clarity around the principles from you to the players?
Yeah, the funny thing is that there are so many principles that might sound so simple, but players are not actually doing them in the game. And
Or when the
that's
game
like,
gets hard, they disappear, right?
I give you an example. Every coach in the world says that when we lose the ball, we defend immediately. Everyone says that, and no one does it.
So true.
So, and that's the, like, and that's actually where they come from. Me is that the longer I coach, at some point I noticed that okay, we might have a slightly different tactic, we might have a different formation. But I find myself repeating the same things all over again. All the time, all the time. Remember to defend right after you lose the ball. If there's an opportunity to go forward, go forward. And the opponent is attacking. Why is our left winger walking? You need to involve, we need everyone to defend. So I think that's I don't know the reason, but many symbols sound so obvious, so simple, but when you critically evaluate the behavior of the players, very few players actually do them.
And consistently.
And consistently and high level and high speed. So and I think that's the point because if you want to play better, higher level, the only difference is you do the things you do, but you do them faster and better with smaller space, with limited time. And that's why I think you need so much clarity and simplicity on what you want out of the players in terms of behavior. Makes it easier to coach also.
Yeah, I guess there's always that danger that they just become words on a board, right? Or words on a sheet, you know? And I guess the trick to this is believing it, and it's how you bring it to life as a coach. And if it's a chaos, we'll come on to that in a bit about how you do that with your players. But I am intrigued to know, and it's maybe putting a bit unfair on you, or maybe not, I don't know. But you obviously have some firm principles. I wonder if I don't, obviously, we can't spend 4 hours on a podcast, but would you be happy to talk through some or all of those that, or, I don't know how many there are. I think there was nine you put on the Twitter feed. I might be wrong, but I think it was nine. But maybe just mention what they are and just briefly why they're important to you. Because I'm sure it's okay if someone has different principles, right? That's their philosophy and their place. But it'd be good for us to know what ones are important to you and why, if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course, and I think that's the point that everyone should have their own. I think if you put 100 coaches, there will be a lot of overlap. On the
Course.
principles, maybe they're named a bit differently, but very much similarities. I have now nine written, also in the third you mentioned, and actually it was a couple of months ago. I went through all my notes and the PDFs and stuff like that I have accumulated during the years, and then I was like, can I like write down what I actually have here? And I found that actually there's nine things that I repeat all the time. So that's where the nine came from.
I
Just
love the
around.
fact it's nine because I would try, for me that would either be 10 or I work in threes. I can't do like nine is like a random number, but it shows that it actually you're not trying to fill space with words. These are things that actually resonate with you and you found that actually work. So yeah, nine's good. We'll work with nine.
I can read them quickly. We can zoom in on a couple of them. But what I have is forward mentality. So trying to go forward every time there's some chance. Doesn't mean you kick and rush, but if there's a chance to play forward, go for it. Then bravery on the ball. So you always need to remind players that be calm, take the ball, look for opportunities, don't hesitate. Active defending. Think it speaks for itself. It's everyone's job to defend. Technique at speed, that's something that relates to training. I used to do it too, that you train at, let's say, 80% of speed. But what I found is that, of course, it's a well-studied subject, but in terms of development, you need to challenge your ability to control the ball, to dribble. That's the only way to get better. Transition awareness. Said every coach in the world wants to react quickly on transitions, but there are very few teams and players who actually do it. Balance of individual and team. So players need to understand that there's both sides. Sometimes we need someone to go one-on-one and do something, or sometimes it's smarter to use your teammate, play 1-2, and go forward like that. Courage and competitive edge. So,
Courage and a competitive edge.
yeah, so means that you need to be. It's a bit different than bravery in the ball. It
I was going
means
to ask.
that,
Okay.
yeah, it's a bit different because it's also like you need to step up when it's hard time. There are so many players who are talented, but when there is the decisive game, they.
Yeah.
And that's what really makes the difference, to be honest. If you want to play at even a decent level, you need to have that courage to step up
Yeah.
and compete. Off the ball movement. So also something you see a lot that players are just waiting. Waiting in a spot, not to really. Well, it's simple. If you move away from your direct opponent, if the direct opponent follows you, then there's space for someone else. Or if they don't, you're
What space?
free. And the ninth one is a clear desire to score and win. So, I want my players to really try to score, try to win the games, not to avoid losing, not to go for a tie. So try to win the games, try to score. It's everyone's responsibility to create scoring chances and take the shot, go for the rebounds.
Okay.
Those are the principles for me. And of course, there are 1 million other things to coach, no doubt. But
Well, the details behind each one, isn't it? I mean, literally, you could spend a whole season working on one of those principles, couldn't you? Like just playing forward, or just being brave on the ball. You could do everything. But the first thing that leaps out to me, having it written down on the page, is you could have that list of 9 things for a group of under 5 year olds and a group of first team professional football players. Really, couldn't you? Because it's the consistent behaviors that you want to see in successful teams. Now, obviously, how you would coach that and how you would, the detail behind each of those would be different from an under six compared to someone playing, in a first team somewhere. But ultimately, those principles are consistent throughout football. It's not an age and stage thing. It's the game thing, right?
Yeah, and that's why I find it fascinating that it's for everyone, no matter the age, no matter the level. Being honest, it can be first team football, it can be under 7. Doesn't matter.
Complete
Of course, as
beginners.
you said, how you coach them and what you demand is of course different. But principle is same.
So, Oscar, can I ask you a question there? Is this something that's personal to you and your coaching approach, or do you see this in the club that you coach at? I mean, this is something that you've got throughout. Are these written? I mean, it seems like it's quite, you put this together relatively recently from the notes that you've had. So I'm going to guess these aren't explicitly laid out. Like if we walked in the changing rooms at your club, they're not on the wall or anything like that. These are just things that they're important to you that you put out in your sessions. Is that right?
Yeah, they are important to me, and yeah, I'm gonna write them. This is actually the first time I take a decent amount of time to write them all down. It
I
has
see.
been my application on football, and now I'm taking time to also write them down for the club. Many people working there knows them already,
I bet, yeah.
but taking the time to really write them down and what they mean, and so even more coaches can benefit from them. But yeah, they are. It's how I have coached it, and it's developed over the years.
What's interesting is for each of the points in there, you've got technical ability, you've got psychological ability, you've got social ability, you've got physical ability, you've got game understanding and game intelligence, all in each one. So, there's so much going on in each one that as a coach, that makes it exciting, right? Because, I don't just want Oscar to be able to receive the ball and be able to think, play forward. I want to have to make good decisions as well. Body shape to receive, decision making. Is he physically capable of doing that? Can he sprint away? So there's lots in there. I wonder if you don't mind just sharing us a little bit about how you've gone about embedding this in your coaching practices. It may be useful just to give an overview of like how you would approach an under 17s training session for just generally speaking, and then maybe some ways in which you'd embed some of these things within that session as well, regardless of maybe what topic it was.
Interesting that you mentioned traditional way of thinking, that you have like technical, tactical, physical, mental side of things, because how I see it that let's say you have a principle, big one, forward mentality. Okay, it's just you need to name it somehow, but in what box does it belong? For me, it ticks all the boxes,
Absolutely.
and it's this is what has bothered me when I have done like the studying and how the football is written. In many places, is that okay? When there's an opportunity to dribble forward or play between the defenders to break the line, what has it do with mental side, or because it's behavior. It's behavior. You just do it. So that's
Well,
my.
that's a good point, and I totally agree with what you're saying. I think I struggle sometimes. So you might know this, but the FA model is very built on that four corner model with the psychological, social, technical, and tactical. And I don't fully. I understand it's important to understand that, and that's part of it all. But the minute you break it down, like I think any practice, I think sometimes you lose something in it, don't you? The minute you make it a bit of a part rather than the whole, you lose something. But obviously, if you do the whole all the time, then you've got to know which part might be missing from a player's perspective to be able to support them. And also, my biggest problem with the four corner model is the fact it doesn't actually mention game intelligence in there at all. There's nothing about the ability. So you could be tactically brilliant, you could be technically brilliant, you could be psychologically and socially perfect and physically brilliant, but you might make some really bad decisions. So, the game I sense got to be in there as well. So it should be a holistic thing for sure. But to your point about just doing it and being brave, I wonder if, and I've seen some players, now I've got a coach a bit older players, and some of the lads come across some other clubs to us. So they're not brave. They've been in places where they weren't free to make mistakes, and they weren't free to just play football and embrace the principles. And actually getting them to embrace some of the stuff that we take for granted, and the players we've had since under 60s just kind of play and know that actually, yeah, we want to win, but Scott's not going to shout at me if I give the ball away because we're trying to do the right things. Sometimes I think you know players that haven't had that upbringing or that background, they need more support around that. Do you know what I mean? So I think sometimes it's that can be the bit that you have to help out with.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've had many players who are not familiar with these kind of principles and are coached like traditional way. And they are, I think the first question is they are really like wonder, okay, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
So tell me what I need to do, and then I try to explain the principles and like saying that, okay, within these principles, you can do anything you want. And it takes some time for
Yeah.
players to really understand that, oh,
Or believe it, right? To actually believe you mean it. Because sometimes coaches say stuff,
yeah,
but actually, it's all good saying it until it goes wrong. Then they
yeah,
change their rules and they're like, can we trust Oscar? He's actually
yeah,
saying this and he means it. Yeah.
yeah, yeah. And it's something that, yeah. Many players are first like a bit like what is this? And but when I think when they can trust the coach that okay, within these principles I'm really allowed to do whatever I want. Yeah, you can. And then sometimes I think that's really a limiting factor for player development and also like limiting your potential that players have these like am I allowed to do that?
Yeah, that freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also like there's many examples on a game. Let's say I think many coaches will resonate with this that let's say you're defending. And you can see that a player could intercept the pass or help the team to prevent the opponent from scoring, but he's not doing it. And then when you ask the player, he's like, oh, it was not my man or something like that. And then when you try to explain it that, hey, if you can, you should do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter your left back or left winger. If there's a transition and you can track back the opposing player, do it. Doesn't matter if you're a striker or winger or whatever. Just do it if you can. It's about winning the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and
But
it's that mindset.
but it takes time for players to really trust, okay, is this true? Is this allowed? And I think when you build that to players, I think they like it because there's freedom to express yourself. But I think the funny thing is that, okay, many players and coaches might associate it, okay, it's total freedom. No, it's not. You need to do these principles pretty well. And if you do them, you can express yourself quite freely. So it's
It's the
people,
balance.
yeah, it's the balance. And I think sometimes people misinterpret.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point as well. And to me, I think that's what coaching is a little bit. It's that craft, isn't it? Between giving that structure and that formality and kind of that framework, but making it loose enough that players can have that freedom of expression. And if you can get that sweet spot right, and it's not the same for all players. Some players want a bit more kind of control, don't they? And other players want a bit more freedom. But if you can get that sweet spot right and get that chemistry right, then that, I guess that's where you maximize both the individual's potential, but also the team's potential, right? And that's what we're trying to do, especially with younger players, maybe under 17s. I know it's important to win, but you're still developing players, right? These guys aren't at the end of their journey yet. They're still getting there and improving. So you're trying to constantly balance that thing between getting the players better individually, but also producing a team that's going to be competitive and working together.
Yeah, I think I would like to add on that, yeah, sometimes also people interpret that, okay, these principles are quite like high level, that what does this really mean? And of course, sometimes you need to give players practical example and like, okay, this is center back, where you can pass, how you can pass from this situation, but also like remind him or her that okay, if that passing lane is not open so, or okay, this is the situation, it might be that okay, this is the best pass, but okay, it might be that you dribble here. So always reminding the players that what the principles are, but also sometimes, of course, you need to give them instructions, and of course, you need tactics. That's like how the team plays. Yeah.
And I guess it's position specific, right? So the principle of, like you said, forward mentality, that may look slightly different for the goalkeeper or the centre back compared to maybe the number 10 or the left wing, which is absolutely fine, right? We're not saying but still have the same mindset about what you want to achieve, but how you might go about that is slightly different because of the risk reward factors and just the opposition and space and stuff like that. So, but I guess that's where it moves from being words and principles to actually then that's the coaching part, but that's where you step in now and do the job, right? You can't say, right, play forward, off you go, guys. It's like, how is that going to look as a team then? How are we going to make that work as a collective?
Yeah, that's a good point. And as an example, let's say transition awareness. So when your goalkeeper gets the ball, like that's the perfect opportunity to counterattack. So that's a good example that I keep telling my goalkeepers that
First attacker.
first attacker, you get ball in your hands. And you can run with it, and you can throw, you can kick, you can do whatever, and also to make the outfield players aware that okay, that's like the one of the best moments to counter when your keeper gets the ball. There's so much space, the opponent has just attacked.
They're still thinking forward. We've got the
Yeah,
ball.
and they are frustrated that they didn't finish the attack. So and yeah, as you said, that it the principle is the same, but it applies differently in different positions. So yeah.
So, Oscar, if you don't mind, then, and this might, again, if it's unfair, I don't know, but like with your coaching experience, I for coaches, it's always nice to get a picture of how you actually coach some of this stuff then. So, what a typical Oscar session might look like, and then how you might put some of this in there. Because I'm going to guess you probably don't do a session on, necessarily transition awareness. Maybe you do, but you maybe do something else, but that forms part of it. I don't know. Well, I guess, first of all, what's a typical, if you could do an average kind of session, how would it start? How would it middle bit? How would it finish? And then maybe if you don't mind, just how might you get some of this stuff with it in that session so your players are picking it up? Is that
Yeah,
fair to
sure.
what I've put you on the spot there? That wasn't a question I've told.
Yeah,
Are you
sure.
okay with that?
Yeah,
Okay, brilliant. Thank you.
it's okay. Let's say we have a match day on Saturday, and then we have four training sessions, so Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Typical week, let's say, in the season.
Okay.
So Monday, I luckily have a physio who does like 40 minutes quite extensive strength and conditioning session to start. There
This is
might
on the
be
17s, right? This is the on the 17s.
So 40 minutes, there might be, let's say, first 7 minutes, 8 minutes, some rondo, 4 against 2, 5 against 2, 5 against 2, to get things rolling for the week. Then, okay, I don't get too much in detail what the physio does.
Just getting fit, yeah.
But then, okay, we have like 50 minutes left. Usually it's pretty normal stuff what other coaches also do. Some passing exercise, some small-sided game to start the week, maybe some finishing. Many players like to do that at the start of the week, and usually some kind of not big game, but let's say medium-sized game at the end. And the point is that the sessions are not revolutionary. It's about the coaching.
Absolutely.
So nothing too fancy, but yeah, like Rondo, how you can amplify things. Let's say, okay, it's 5 against 2. So let's say it's not enough for the two players to get off in the middle if they just touch the ball. Let's say they need to pass to each other
Yeah.
or dribble out of the area. So that makes like the transition more natural on that.
And just on that one detail there, and I don't want to jump in too much. I want to carry on with what the sessions, but just to say, I guess that's one way in which you reinforce your principles, right? Because actually, there you go. It's not just doing a rondo 5v2, and anything kind of doesn't really matter. It's like no, technical speed is still important, transition is still important, transitional awareness. Recovering the ball and thinking forward by making that pass. So you're embedding those practices just in a rondo without even necessarily using those words. You're just getting those principles and getting that, I guess, getting that culture set in everything that you do. So that's how you bring it to life. The details matter, don't they? And that's a good example of where you'd get that across. Okay, thank you.
Or let's say you do some let's say finishing okay, there might be a small-sided game first. It can be like a three zones, three teams, and again, X number of players can go to defend, and of course that enforces that it's, let's say, it's 3 against or 6 against 3, 6 against 4. So you need to be quite active on defending if you want to get the ball, and if you can't get the ball, you are defending all the time. And then you can add like a small goal behind the area. So if the defending team wins the ball, they can either score there or play to the other side, to the other team. So it's all the same exercises everyone else is also doing, but with the small tweaks, emphasizing on the principles you want to have and see in a match. Or it can be something like finishing drill. It can be like, let's say, 3 against 2 in the middle, quite a narrow zone. So the three is trying to score in the goal. So you need to balance individual team. Okay, if you go alone or shoot, or you dribble and pass So all the basics, but just making the players aware of the principles and encouraging the behavior. And of course, it's nine principles. You can't coach all in one session. I would say it takes at least 2 years, two full seasons to get the whole thing, even with the nine. So it's one or two principles you emphasize each session or each week. And then some middle-sized game. And usually it's on the principle you are maybe lacking or want to enforce before the next game. And then let's say Tuesday, I have a football fitness session. So it's playing. I'm doing Verheyen's periodization on football fitness. So it's 6 weeks and 2 weeks big games, 2 weeks middle-sized games, 2 weeks small-sided games, and also yeah. Enforcing the principles within the football fitness games. Then Thursday, all the basic like maybe a passing drill against small-sided game, and then usually something related to tactics. So if there's something we want to work on before the Saturday. And like it can be like 8 versus 6 or 8 versus 7, whatever building up or creating a scoring chance, whatever we feel we need on Saturday, and preferably, of course, it's under 17, so you want to get reps for. The ones who play together on Saturday. And for Friday, we have also a physio doing like 20 minutes and then quite short session, 60 minutes, 65 minutes. So usually it's quick rondo physio, then some finishing. And some small sided some small game, medium-sized game. I don't really have many different drills exercises. It's just about keeping it simple and
Having that consistency.
yeah.
Yeah. And how, Oscar, how does that work then with the younger age groups or the older age groups? How would that mirror across? Would it be similar with the younger ones? Obviously not going to maybe have as many sessions and everything else, but would they follow a similar kind of coaching methodology? And then if you go past the under 70s up to the older age groups, would it be the same again?
Yeah, I did the exact same with the first team, so it's nothing changes there. With the younger age groups, of course, you don't play football fitness games. That's one when you go off. And of course, you want to emphasize more on technique and decision making. It's not about tactics with the younger age groups. So. I would say with younger age groups, of course you need to do reps. So isolated training. There's also mixed opinions on isolated training. I would say you need reps anyway, and these kids nowadays are not doing them in their own time enough. So. At least I say to our coaches that just do the reps. Do the reps also within the team sessions, and then have 1-on-1, 2 against 2, 3 against 3. So something related to that. But remember to teach the principles and let the kids play a lot and reinforce the behaviors. I think that's so with younger kids you forget tactics and fitness. That's not what they need to learn.
Playing, work on technique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And decision making, that's the
And this is
important one.
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that takes us to match day quite well, actually, because I wanted to ask you about matches. And, these things are always great. But ultimately, when the coach jumps in the frying pan of a weekend fixture, sometimes these things can kind of almost take a, what was great on a Thursday night training session suddenly isn't as important on a Saturday when we're 2-0 down after 10 minutes. So how do you approach these on matches, the principles? How much is it part of your pre-match conversation during the match, coaching from the sidelines, halftime team talks, and post-match? Well, where does it fit into all that?
I can't really recall at what time, but I found myself repeating this all the time in the matches. It's before the match, halftime, during the game. So of course you have some tactical plan depending on the opponent, but it's the same things. I for the players, you need to find ways to wrap the message to new like it's the same wine in a different bottle,
I like that
as people
analogy.
say, because there are some players I've coached quite many games, and it's the same, but you need to remind players on the same things all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. All of them before the game, during the halftime, during the match. It's incredible how players forget to look forward when they get the ball. All the time. And when they lose the ball, they start walking. You need to remind them. Okay, you lose the ball, you sprint.
But Oscar, the good thing with that is, I think, is when you're reminding, and maybe I'm seeing it because I want to see it this way, but I think when you're reminding players about principles, you're not telling them what to do. You're just telling them how we're trying to approach the game. So it's not instruct. I don't see it as joystick coaching. Maybe I'm seeing it wrong. Maybe I should just be quiet on the touchline and say nothing. But I think when you're reminding people about what you've practiced maybe at training and it's not prescriptive, then I think that's okay because it's just reinforcing the philosophy and approach you want to take and until the players get it naturally. And I see that differently to actually just saying, right, pass left, pass right, hit a player, and be so specific about it. Do you think that's okay? Are you in that same space? Is it different,
Yeah.
or are we just seeing what we want to see?
Yeah, I totally agree. And yeah, you could argue that if you every time the player loses the ball and you immediately reinforce that react. So someone could say that's joysticking. Okay, maybe it is, maybe it's not, I don't know. But as you said, it's not telling the players actually how to do it. It's just like keeping the bar high, what is required for the team, but also for the player. Football is hard. If you want to play even at the decent level, I would argue you need to do these nine principles pretty well if you want to survive even at semi-professional level.
And I think you put out a tweet as well, and correct me if I got this wrong, but I think it was on the lines of your post-match analysis should start with your last training session. Was that, yeah. Can you see
Yeah.
that? Which I thought, I think I've got it right, but that was like, well, yeah, it seems so obvious, but actually, I never do that. But I need to be
Yeah.
doing that because, but if you don't mind, just elaborate on that and why you think it's important that's okay.
Yeah. I think the problem with most training sessions are that drills don't. And what coaches enforce and what coaches demand on the sessions, it doesn't translate to games. I think that's the biggest problem I see, that what players are asked to do in sessions, it's not how the game is asking them to do and behaving in Saturday on Saturday. So that's like I think that's number one thing you should evaluate first that what we did during the week, because that's how you prepare the players. Of course, you need to analyze what happened and be crystal clear on that. But if you never demand like the transitions in training sessions,
You're not going to get a match there, are you? No.
no.
Yeah, don't expect to see what you haven't seen at training, right? Because you haven't coached at
Yeah.
training, you're not going to see it on a match day. It's not going to, well, you
Yeah.
might get lucky, but it's more luck than it is anything else.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. And also something I would like to address that I'm not sure how many coaches do it, but I find matches to be the best ones to also teach principles because it can be difficult in training sessions. I understand the players. It's not same. It's not say. It's really hard, especially defending. It's really tough to defend well in training. It's not. We are lazy. We were comfortable. People are com want to get comfortable. So I think it's important to use matches also to and those moments that happen during the game. So I also see that it's perfect time to. If player does something good or there's room for improvement on some principle, if they do it or don't do it in a match, that in the sideline you can like yes, that was it, or right after the situation emphasize if something is better. So maybe that reinforces players remember them better and maybe can adjust during the match.
Well, I think Oscar, on that point as well, it's a great point you make, because the problem with training is you're often talking to the whole team, aren't you? So the whole team
Yeah.
know what you're working on. So in position, out position, the opposition know what they're going to be doing to try and stop you. The beautiful thing about matches is hopefully your opponents don't know what you're going to be doing, right? So you've got more opportunities to have some successes. Now, I always think that when I'm doing a practice at training, I almost want the other team to go away and not hear what we're working on. So it feels more authentic, but you can't really do that very easily. Maybe you can at times, but not very easily. But in a match, the other team haven't heard your, haven't seen your Thursday training session, haven't seen your weekly plan, they haven't seen your tactics or your principles. So it probably is the best opportunity, right, to see if it works in practice. And often it does, and then recognize that and say, look, wow, fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's big problem in training sessions because you are always playing against with your team. They know, and I think that's also one difficulty if you are doing tactical training in team
Yeah.
training that well, you don't get real behavior on the other team.
Yeah.
Never, never. It's never the same because,
Of course. It's too safe. Everyone knows everyone. You know your strengths, you know what you
yeah.
can do. There's things that you can't possibly, disguise or take out of that equation, is it? Or not easily anyway.
Yeah.
You might manipulate certain things, but then you're in danger over manipulating it. But
Yeah.
again, but that's why your principle is so important, right? Because actually they are the consistent, they are the North Star, aren't they? They're the things that stay
Yeah.
consistent.
Yeah, and with the coaching during the match or emphasizing principles during a match. I said some players can feel that this is like high level. They don't really understand what this means. But if you can bring it to life during the game, let's say you have a midfielder who really struggles with when we lose the ball, and okay. When there's a situation, you can right after the situation, like, hey, that was the situation. You need to take a yellow card and just stop the counterattack. It's right after
Yeah.
it happened. So that way, it creates context. It brings the principle to your position because
Yeah.
it as you said previously. These principles mean different, might mean different things for different players in different positions. So, putting a spotlight right after it happened, of course, if he's still playing, don't interrupt, but as soon as possible, reinforcing or making him aware.
Recognizing it.
Yeah, I think that's powerful, and I'm not sure how many coaches use it, but I think that's something that's working for me really well, and I think it's much easier to teach these during the games.
Yeah, absolutely. Oscar, thank you. That's brilliant. So, look, as we get to this conversation, just thinking ahead now, maybe it's a bit unfair as well because you've just got these in place, but these are going to be an evolving format, right? You may look back, in 5 years' time, thinking actually we've got a lot of these things right, but we've evolved on from that now. Do you see that as this is a working practice? It's not something that's like locked in now for the next 20 years, and that's all you're going to do. Will these be revisited and improved and changed potentially?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you always need to be flexible and think, be aware. Of course, football is evolving. It's getting faster all the time, and you need to adapt
That.
what's going on. But I think it's so important for coaches to think that what are the behaviors I want from the players, and be clear in different situations and be clear what they are. But yeah, you need to let's say, for example, I could say that the forward mentality, active defending, and transition awareness, those three have been with me all the time. And then others have evolved during the years, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Also, that's been fascinating. Thank you so much. Like, I think this whole moving, maybe not even moving, but this evolution into focusing more on principles, maybe over some of the kind of prescriptive patterns of play stuff that maybe we spoke about maybe 5 years ago, is the way football it is heading, and maybe it already is there kind of thing. So having you share your thoughts on it and how you approach it has been brilliant. If you don't mind me asking as well, I believe you've got a is it a school community? Is that am I saying that right? Do you mind talking a bit about that if you're happy to, and sharing what that is and how it works?
Yeah, it's a social media platform, school. I don't know how you pronounce it. I think it's
I think
from States.
yeah.
But yes,
It's SKOOL, I think, isn't it? But it's basically a
yeah.
helper. You can set up communities, can't you, and work on
Yeah.
things. You've got one there.
Yeah, I have a community there. It's called Football Coaching Hub. And I'm collecting all the principles and like the frameworks and how I measure each principle. So that's one place if coaches want to learn more on how I see things. So that's a place for me where I'm documenting all the stuff for the first time. So it's in one place, not all
Everywhere
shattered
else. Yeah,
in my
it's
notes
amazing
and.
what you accumulate. 15 years of coaching, I keep all the books, the notes, the things everywhere. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
mad. Well, what we'll do, if it's okay with you, if you don't mind, we'll put the link into that in our show notes on the podcast. People can find the link to that. Obviously, your X handle as well, because I think that's fantastic. Personally, I look at that all the time. There's always good things on there. So we'll put some details around that. Just before we get into how people can contact you if they want to, one question we do ask all our guests, I hope you don't mind me asking this one to you as well, is if there was one thing you could change about the world of football or coaching, one thing, what might that be?
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious on based on what I write on Twitter that it's really bothering. Nothing wrong with tactics. Nothing wrong. It's I watch YouTube videos on tactics. I watch Twitter threads on tactics. It's all fascinating, and drills are important. You have bad drills, you had good drills, so it's also important. But I would like more people to like see the missing part that eventually it's about the behavior of the players. It's about the behavior anyways. So I really would like to see more people talking about the behaviors and the fact that if you coach at the higher level, I think one thing you realize that the better players you have, the more success you will have also.
Yeah.
It's only so little you can do with the tactics.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
so little. Of course, it's
Important, but
important.
it's part of the puzzle, but it's not the whole puzzle.
But I think that the percentage on what we are focused on is wrong because tactics are only like 10%. All the players are fit. All the players are fit now. They're super fit athletes. All players. All the players have technical ability when you go higher. The difference is the best players can make better decisions. They understand how the game works. They if there's an opportunity to go forward, they go. They don't care what the tactic is. Or if the opponent is trying to score, you help your team. And that's what I would like to more people to be aware of that part.
Brilliant. That's cool. Love that. Fantastic. What a great one. One of the best ones we've had, I think. So thank you so much for sharing that one. It's been a pleasure to speak to you. If people want to find out more about you, the work you do, or potentially reach out to you, is there a way they can go about doing that?
Yeah, I think Twitter or X is the best way to reach me. So it's Coach Osku, and that's where I share all kind of stuff related to coaching football. I think it relates to coaching in itself. And as said, if someone wants to know more about variables and learn the frameworks, I share everything inside the school.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Well, we'll add all those links into the show notes so people can find that nice and easy. You've been an absolute pleasure to speak to. There's about another 300 different topics we could discuss. So would you come back on again and speak about those at some point in the not too distant future? Would that be okay?
Yeah, sure. I
All
think
right.
it's so interesting, and that's also with the Twitter that there's so many things you could discuss with such a detail, and that's what makes sports in general and football especially so interesting.
Absolutely. Oscar, well, I thank you for letting us steal some of your it's mid-season break now, isn't it? Is that where you're at currently?
Yeah, we will
Yeah.
start on Monday,
On Monday back to
21st. Yeah, so back
okay.
to
And do
work.
you carry on where you finished in the league then? Does it pick up from where you stopped?
Yeah,
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 okay.
yeah, yeah. With under 17s. So
Yeah.
youth teams have like first part and then second
Second.
part. Yeah.
Best of luck for the second part of the season. Thanks so much for your time, Oscar. And look, if it's okay, we'll be reaching out again another month or two to get you back on. So we'll pick another conversation to delve into.
Yeah, that would be nice. Thanks for having me, Scott.
This episode was brought to you in association with our friends at Soccer Coach Weekly. Established since 2006, Soccer Coach Weekly is a leading source of inspiration and advice for all grassroots coaches. Join thousands of youth soccer coaches just like you, saving time and effort in their goal of having the most effective, enjoyable and successful coaching journey for them and their players. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode.